Hey friends, I want to tell you a little bit about Mood Plus, the sponsor of today's episode. I've been taking supplements for many years now, and I'm skeptical about most products because A, many of them have ingredients that I just don't want to put into my body, and B, their research is spotty at best. When I heard of Mood Plus, I was skeptical, yet I was also open to learning about the science behind their claim that naturally occurring strains of bacteria can benefit our mental well-being and stress resilience. So I did some research, and I actually found it all quite fascinating. About 2 months ago, I added Mood Plus into my daily regimen, and I've liked it so far. The results aren't earth-shattering. They never are for me when I add a new supplement or vitamin into my life. But I am noticing some subtle shifts that I attribute to Mood Plus. Now, my results might be different from yours, but if you're curious about the research and about Mood Plus, then I recommend you check out their website, moodplus.com. Mood is spelled M-U-D, by the way. And if you want to purchase some of your own, then you can use the code TRYMOOD at checkout for 15% off your first order. Again, the website is MUD-PLUS.com, and the code is TRYMUD for 15% off. Hey folks, Matthew Bivens here, and because you're listening to this show, I know that you want to have the most extraordinary life possible. I'm talking about a life with purpose, where you do meaningful work, have fulfilling relationships, and feel healthy and thriving. But many times, having all of that doesn't seem possible. You have the happy career, but you are lacking in health. You have meaningful relationships, but you feel lost and without purpose. Well, now there's a way for you to see exactly how you stack up in the most important areas of your life so that you can accelerate your self-growth and truly live the life of your dreams. Using my free tool, the Abundance Benchmark, you will gain deep and valuable insight into 6 essential areas of life. It's absolutely free, and you can get yours right now at www.matthewbivens.com. I know this stuff is super important to you, so don't put off your personal development any longer. Grab the free Abundance Benchmark and get to having it all. Welcome to Having It All. My name is Matthew Bivens, and each week I bring you conversations and insights that explore the question, what does having it all mean to you? My goal is to leave you with stories you can relate to and messages you can take action on so that you can create an abundant, loving life. I am so excited that you're here to hang out with me today. Now, let's jump right into this episode. My guest today is Robert Monroe. And if you met him in person, the first thing you'd probably notice is his smile. He's got one of those huge ear-to-ear smiles that tends to come with a hearty laugh and come from a genuine place of joy. But behind the smile is a man who's been through some incredibly trying times in his life. For example, at a young age, he and his siblings were orphaned, losing both of their parents to AIDS. And through that experience, they learned some brutal lessons about life. But despite all of that, his smile never faded. I'm incredibly honored to bring you this conversation with Robert Monroe, where we talk about life, family, parenthood, and so much more. So with that, let's jump right into the conversation. Robert, I want to welcome you to the show this morning, man. I'm very appreciative that you took some time to hang out with me. How are you being today?
I'm well, thank you. I'm very excited about the opportunity that you gave me to kind of share my story.
Very cool. Well, this episode is going to be a lot of fun because you and I, we know each other. We know each other personally. We see each other a couple times a week. I'd say about 2 times a week over at the Your Day Playground, where we do the play camp together, and then we do the Saturday fun run. So we get a chance to be in relationship with one another a few times a week. And we've talked a lot about podcasting. We've talked, you've shared with me the shows that you like, and you've put me onto new shows. And we've talked a little bit about life. And, you gave me some fatherly advice about, I'm having a daughter soon. And you talked to me about your daughters. And so I was excited to have you on the show because, of our real life connection. And the stories and the insights and the wisdom I know that you have and that you want to share. So again, thank you, Robert, for carving out some time this morning.
No problem. Thank you.
Awesome, man. Well, you know, I know a little bit about you, but the listeners out there do not. So that's where I want to start. I'd love for you to share a little bit about who you are and what you're up to today, and then we will dive into your story and your journey, which I think is fascinating.
Oh, perfect. Where should I start?
Yeah, go ahead. Kick off. You know, tell me about you right now today. What are you up to today? What do you do these days? What are some of the roles that you play?
You know, a lot of people kind of identify themselves when they introduce themselves, based on their profession. I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor, what have you. But that doesn't really say much about who you are as a person. First, I'm a father. I have three daughters. I'm a husband. And my career, I'm an economist. I do a lot of analytics and sales and marketing, different things like that. But first and foremost, it's about my relationships. And when I kind of introduce myself, I want to be a friend first before I introduce kind of my skills or what have you.
Oh, that's powerful. That's, you know, it's so easy to start off by me asking a question like, so what do you do? Right? As opposed to, you know, who are you or what's important to you? And so I appreciate that you kicked it off by, you know, by saying I'm a friend, I'm a father, I'm a husband. It to me, those are the roles that are most important to you. And that's how I experience you in life.
And, you know, like a lot of times you kind of base your value on a profession, right?
Yeah.
So if you're a doctor, you're a little more valuable. If you're a lawyer, you're a little more valuable. But that's not necessarily the case, because there's a lot of people that have a lot of great professions who aren't rich.
Yeah.
You know, and I know a lot of poor people who are rich and who, you know, who don't have great professions. So it's a great way of kind of, when you introduce yourself in that manner, it kind of lets people know who you really are and your true worth.
I'm happy you said that, because it can be dangerous to tie your, you know, your self-worth and your value to a profession. You know what I mean? It's like, well, what does it mean if I get laid off from that job, or if the business that I tie my worth to goes under, you know? And then it's easy just to feel worthless, to feel like you have failed as an individual. And so I appreciate you saying that. And, you know, it also makes me think about, so many times when you meet a person for the very first time, the first question is, so what do you do? You know, and I think, you know, I'm going to be more observant of the questions I ask people now when I first meet them, to make sure that I'm not simply saying, what do you do? So that sets the frame for, you know, how they identify.
I was listening to NPR the other day, and they had a story about doctors burning out. Mm. And one of the things they said was, you know, doctors, especially here in America, they tend to live a lifestyle representative of a doctor, per se, right? So a doctor, they're supposed to have a kind of a higher lifestyle, what have you. And what that leads to kind of burnout, because now they have to have the income based on the amount of patients they bring in, and now they have 50 patients a day that they're trying to do just to subsidize their lifestyle, what have you. So in a sense, if you see a burnt out doctor, is that doctor really rich, or are they struggling? So it kind of brought that point home when I listened to that story.
I mean, that point hits home for me. My father's a doctor, and so I've experienced that in different phases of his life. You know, phases where, you know, you want to live up to the image. You want to drive the car that a doctor is supposed to drive. And that's when you might go lease a car instead of purchase something used, because typically you'd purchase something used, but you know what? The image of a doctor is to lease this really nice car. And so I've experienced that through him at different points in time.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, fascinating you said that. So if I want to go back and say, okay, Robert Monroe is a friend, father, husband. Is that how you would introduce yourself to a new person?
No, probably not directly in that way, but I would kind of lead the conversation into that way. You know, I would lead it into that where, okay, well, the outside story, the profession, I really want to, that could come later. I want to know who you are. You know, a good handshake, a hug, a good introduction. You know, just those soft. Because you could, I'm really big on energy and a person's energy, and I want to know that I could be comfortable around it. You know, business is one of those things where you have multiple layers, right? So you have facades that you put in different situations, and it's real easy not to know that true person. But I found out over the years, if you do business and know that person and know that that person is a good person, you have better outcomes.
Oh yeah.
If you don't know that person and you go based on strictly on that facade, then it could go awry pretty fast.
Yeah. When you really get to know a person's character and you create those agreements, starting with relationship and then character, it tends to, what I'm hearing you say is it tends to work out a little bit more in your favor, and you tend to get the outcome that you really want when you start with that character and that relationship first.
Exactly. If you have a relationship based on trust, it works both ways, right? So I trust you, but now that you know that I trust you, you're going to try not to break that trust. You see, so it makes that bond a little stronger. So if you got to start out with trust, and then from that trust, your relationships get stronger.
That's just a great lesson for life. You know, working on trust, on understanding.
That's where it comes from. I have lifelong friends. I have friends that I've been friends for 30 years. And it's based on that trust. We got certain rules. We got certain rules that we kind of live by. Like, you know, kind of growing up, adolescence, it was kind of guy rules at first, right? Don't ever mess with an ex-girlfriend. Don't borrow money and don't pay it back. You know, different things like that. But those years, over the years, and you constantly have those things, then you have a bond that's, in a way, stronger than blood, right? It can be at least. So that trust is tangible. Trust is tangible because now you have a collection of lifelong friends, right? So that trust led to a collection of lifelong friends. And to me, that's where I'm a strength out of. People who know me know that I have deep friendships.
That's a great thing. That's such a great thing. And it sounds like the friendships that you've created, they're built on something. You know, they're built on that trust. And there's that collective understanding that these are the parameters of the friendship. You know, like, it's unwritten, but it's like, don't violate this. Don't violate my trust. You know, don't do what you say you're not going to do. And like, there are these unwritten things to those deep friendships that you've created in your life.
Exactly. And you know, everything has to have a set of rules, right? No matter what you do, everything has to have a set of rules. And you have to live by rules and everything. If I cook, I know this is the amount of time it takes to cook. If I drive, this is the limit that I have to drive at. Yeah. If I work, the hours I have to work. Like, everything has rules. And a lot of times, what people do is, outside of formal events or things, they kind of let those rules kind of slack a little bit. But it's important to kind of carry those rules over. And inevitably, if you live by certain rules, then you won't go outside those rules and you won't betray trust.
And you know what that makes me think of is having those rules or those guidelines for yourself, you know, and having them for yourself first, so that, you know what you're about and you know, the arena that you're playing in. So then you can then go out and say, okay, this is the type of relationships I'm looking to create with my friends. This is the type of relationship I'm looking to create with an intimate partner, because you're clear on the type of relationship that you are looking to create with yourself. You know, I'm a big person on a big believer that it starts with self. And so
exactly.
Yeah.
Sure.
then I'll go.
The universe will bring it to you. The universe will bring it to you if you put it out there. If you live by the rules, the universe follows those rules, right?
Yeah, there are rules of the universe, too.
I mean, it's physics, right? So you put the energy out there, and the energy comes back to you. You know, you're not going to, if you have this energy, you're not going to bring in the opposite energy. You're going to bring in the same energy, right? So you're going to repel the opposite energy.
So what I'm hearing you say is that you attract what you put out there.
Exactly. It's kind of the same rule. You are what you eat. You attract. If you have good friends, exactly. You know, if you have good friends and you have good surroundings and you put good knowledge into yourself and, you know, and you move with effort and different things of that nature, then those things are going to happen. It never fails. I never heard somebody say, I've done something good and something bad happened to me because of that good.
You know, go ahead.
Now, the intent. Now, you might have great intent, and you didn't follow those rules perfectly, and something went wrong with that. But most of the time, if you move in kind of the right light, those positive things will happen eventually. Now, timing is a different story. It might not happen in the time that you had, but they're mutually exclusive, right? So, as long as you start moving, if you put the effort in, it happens. I kind of look at it like, I always, in my mind, picture my life as a statue, right? I take a chisel and I chisel my life away little by little. And at the end of my life, I want to have a masterpiece.
Mm.
Now, the timing is basically limited to my lifespan, right? So, but that I don't know what that is. So to me, it's infinite, right? So I got infinite time within my thoughts to mold myself in the way I want to be. And when I mold myself, I mold my people, the people around.
Yeah, and like every thought you have, every action, every word is taking that chisel to the marble.
Exactly.
And it's creating that masterpiece of yourself, of your life.
Exactly. I told my wife that same story about the making a sculpture of your life. And she used that when we met, she'd never been to school. She graduated from high school, but she had a dream of going to college and everything. And she was struggling in a couple of classes and everything. I was like, her name's Venice. Venice, you think of your life as a sculpture. Chisel away little by little. Find the areas that you need to improve. And little by little, those areas, all those different areas that you improve are going to eventually come into one, right? It's like the whole is greater than the sum of,
yeah,
I can't remember.
Parts. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like that, right? So if you little by little work on little improvements, right? For instance, when I went to the camp, I knew I needed to improve. And little by little, I said, I need to improve my body this way. I need to improve my mental this way. I need to work on outside relationships, outside of my circle. And little by little, you just mold those little pieces. And little by little, that love comes together and you eventually get what you want.
What I'm hearing you say is it's about action.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just...
It's as much about you as it is the universe.
Yeah. Yeah, and putting things out there and then getting into movement. Like your wife, you know, she said she wanted to go back to school, but she didn't just simply say that. She didn't simply put it out into the universe. Like she went and got it done. And with you and your health journey, your physical journey, you put it out there, I want to create a masterpiece. And I see you every Saturday show up and just get it on the 4-mile run. And, you know, I remember your first run, and I remember and I see each week how taking a step and going for that jog becomes easier and easier. And then years down the road, your sculpture is going to look very different because you've been taking those small steps and those small actions. Hey friends, I want to tell you a little bit about Mood Plus, the sponsor of today's episode. I've been taking supplements for many years now, and I'm skeptical about most products because A, many of them have ingredients that I just don't want to put into my body, and B, their research is spotty at best.
When I heard of Mood Plus, I was skeptical. Yet, I was also open to learning about the science behind their claim that naturally occurring strains of bacteria can benefit our mental well-being and stress resilience. So, I did some research, and I actually found it all quite fascinating. About 2 months ago, I added Mood Plus into my daily regimen, and I've liked it so far. The results aren't earth-shattering. They never are for me when I add a new supplement or vitamin into my life. But I am noticing some subtle shifts that I attribute to Mood Plus. Now, my results might be different from yours, but if you're curious about the research and about Mood Plus, then I recommend you check out their website, moodplus.com. Mood is spelled M-U-D, by the way. And if you want to purchase some of your own, then you can use the code TRYMOOD at checkout for 15% off your first order. Again, the website is MUD-PLUS.com, and the code is TRYMUD for 15% off. What's up, friends? This episode is sponsored by Factor, my go-to source for delicious and ready-to-eat meals. Sarah and I are very intentional with what we feed our family. We know that food is fuel, and mealtime not only gives us a chance to connect as a family, but also take care of our bodies. That's why we are grateful we found Factor. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. Our family loves the smoothies and wellness shots in particular. With Factor, you can get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. So, what are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. Head to factormeals.com/havingitall50 and use code HAVINGITALL50 to get 50% off. That's code HAVINGITALL50 at factormeals.com/havingitall50 to get 50% off.
Exactly. Running is a metaphor for life, right? Especially if you start out. I ran while I was younger. I ran track and all. I was fast. I made it to the States, and I did the 100, 200, and 400. I even did some hurdles. And so I was a young athlete. As I got older, you tend to play less. And I stopped playing. And as a result, my body started decaying a little bit. And then it got to the point where I was afraid of trying to rebuild it because it took a lot, right? It took more than I had at the time. So when Anthony came to our alumni meeting and told us about the fun run, it was as if the universe, because I put it out there, I wanted help. And mentally, I wanted help, and I didn't know the venue in which to get that help.
Yeah.
And then when Anthony came, it was the answer to what I put out there. And so, you know, kind of, like you say, you see me run. I'm running at my own pace, right? So anybody say I'm consistently running at that same pace. And as I evolve, my pace will get faster.
Yep.
To, you know, but it's kind of, but I got to put the effort. And the first thing I wanted to do is I didn't want to stop. I wanted to build momentum. So anytime you see me run, I don't stop. Even if I'm feel pain or discomfort, I don't stop. I want to keep moving because that's the momentum. And as time goes by, that momentum becomes velocity and I get faster and faster. But I got to build that momentum. And I'm getting to the point now where I feel that momentum. And I love it. And now I don't think about the pain as much. I think about where I'm going to get to. And that's based on that momentum because I feel myself getting better. I feel myself getting faster. And that, like, again, it's a metaphor for life because when things get hard, you got to start getting momentum behind you. And once you get that momentum, it's like a snowball. It just keeps on growing and growing and growing. And pretty soon you're in a place where you never thought you could be.
Yeah. Yeah. And it starts with taking action and, you know, sticking with it when it gets challenging, because it's going to get challenging.
Yeah.
You know, like your joints are going to hurt. You're going to be short of breath. And it's just continuing to stick with it, knowing that you're going to survive and you're going to be okay, even when your body's giving you every signal that, no, that's not the case. And then over time, it's gotten easier and easier for you. And how many weeks now have you been doing the Saturday Fun Run?
It's been about 3 months now.
3 months. It's about 12 weeks.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Yeah. And I crave it every... when I run on Saturday, on Sunday, I can't wait till the next Saturday.
Wow.
I crave it. And not to mention, it's just the love, right? It's the love. It's the community. It's me. You know, people... When you live in a big city, people don't show you as much love as they do in smaller towns or different things, right? They kind of, everybody is, they have to deal with traffic, they have to deal with jobs, the cost of living is a little more. You don't see your kids as much because you're stuck in traffic. It's all these different things. Everybody has their own journey, right? And it's tough. So you don't really get extraterrestrial help in a sense, right? You don't get stuff outside of your circle. You don't get that kind of help, right? And when I came to the gym, it changed. I never felt that kind of energy before, and it's a motivator. And because of that energy and people pulling for you, you want to pull for yourself. You know, when we started stopping at the fun runs and waiting for other people, and a lot, pretty much every time you guys been waiting for me, that did something to me. I don't want to let you guys down. So I'm gonna try a little bit harder, but that carries over in life. Now that you got people in your life who expect greatness from you, then you want to carry that greatness over in the other aspect, right?
Yeah, I mean it's so important that if you're playing for greatness in life, if you're playing for health and abundance and love, that you surround yourself with people who are going to support you in that, and who are going to help you when it gets rough and when you start to doubt yourself, and who are going to hold you accountable and give you feedback when you need to hear feedback. Like, that's what I'm hearing you say, just how important it is to have those powerful people in your life who are supporting you in your journey to greatness.
I was running up a hill a couple of weeks ago and I was struggling up there. It was hot. It was 90-something degrees, and I was tired. It was toward the end of the run, and I felt the hand on my back. I don't even know who put the hand on my back, but I felt the hand on my back, and it was a gentle just nudge, right? Just to let me know I'm here with you. And when I felt the hand, I started running harder. It was no conversation. There was nothing. I just felt the hand on my back. And that's pretty much, if I could sum up my experience at the gym, it's in that hand on my back.
Mm. That's beautiful. You know, and it makes me think about, you know, we never do anything alone.
Yeah.
You know, we're never out there, quote unquote, fighting the fight by ourselves. Even when we kind of convince ourselves that we are, like, you know, somebody made the clothes that you're wearing. Somebody made the car you're driving. Like, you never do anything alone. And so your accomplishment of making it up that hill, you had somebody who just simply put a light touch on you just to let you know that they were there in your corner, and that made a world of difference.
Yeah. It it's relative. Everything is kind of relative. I was reading a book. I can't remember the name of the book. But I was reading a book, and the book basically said that our lives are better relative to, like, the 1800s or something.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason why is because now we have a kind of global community, right? So let's say you're in Dubai, right? If you're in Dubai, chances are you're not going to get an orange. It's a native orange of Dubai. So it's the desert, right? But if you're in Dubai, you could get an orange, you could get a kiwi, you could get a head of lettuce, you could get anywhere, right? So in years past, you would have to be a king and have cargo ships deliver those things solely for your consumption, right?
Yeah.
But now you get everyday person with pretty much no income and eat food from across the world. You could use a product from across the world. Everybody's interconnected and don't even realize it, you know? And like you said, that brings power. So you're never alone. Let's say you're the loneliest person in the world. If you get in the chat room, you got a million friends now.
Yeah, that's true.
So we're all in a
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying we're all interconnected. We all kind of affect somebody in the long run. I remember I was watching Mission Impossible. I think it's like Mission Impossible 5 or something. And Tom Cruise, in the beginning of the movie, he was at a dinner party, right? And the lady asked him about his job, and his cover was he worked for the Department of Motor Vehicles, but I think it was like the Federal Department of Motor Vehicles. And he basically, what he did is he monitored driving patterns. It was a conversation, and he monitored driving patterns of people. And he made a statement in there. He said, when somebody hits their brake in D.C., he said the ripple effect of them hitting that brake could be felt in Richmond.
Wow.
And think about it. If you hit your brake, somebody else slows down. And it's a domino, right? So, and I thought that was very, very powerful. And sometimes, like in life, you got to realize those studies and pick up on those things, and you'll learn a whole lot. That one statement said a lot to me.
Yeah.
And nobody probably ever noticed it.
Yeah, and I mean, there's ripple effects for everything we do in life. It, like you said, it's all connected. And, you know, one powerful ripple effect that I've experienced is with your daughter, Carmen. You know, she came to one of the runs with you, and I'm seeing her show up. And I'm seeing her inspire, you know, her sister to show up as well. And it's just, that's a powerful ripple effect from seeing you getting into action and getting into motion and loving on yourself in a powerful way. And then all of the people at the playground that you've inspired when you show up, you know, I mean, Sarah shared last night at the Wednesday night conversation, she shared the magic that you had Tuesday night where you said that this place is saving my life. And that, you know, who you are being and that statement, the ripple effects from that, I mean, they can reverberate for who knows how far and how deep. And it's just, it's so powerful. It is all so connected. And I'm happy that you brought up the ripple effect and just how everything that we do, every thought we put out there, every action, every word has a potential to impact people in ways that we have no knowledge about or can't foresee.
Yeah, it was special to run with my daughter. Is I can't put it in words. I kind of tear up thinking about it.
Mm.
You know, like, my daughter, she adores me, right? She adores me. And I remember some years ago, she really didn't like P.E. She hated P.E. She was complaining to me, Daddy, I don't like P.E. I get sweaty and all this kind of stuff. And she's 13 now. And she's maybe about 9 or so. And she really didn't like it. And I would always, even... In my downtime, as far as not paying attention to my body, I will always do physical things with my kids. We live in Stone Mountain, so we walk around the park often, and so that's a 5-mile walk around the park, and we would do that at least 3 times a month, and we would go up and down the mountain. It's a mile up and a mile down, so it's a 2-mile. It's kind of intense, and we would do that. And last year, I took some off time from work. And I was, during that time, I would go hiking a lot, and I would take them hiking with me and everything. So they were used to physical activity with me, but I wasn't disciplined enough to carry it on as a routine.
Mm.
So when Karma seen my routine, when she was looking at me, she was watching me, and she seen my routine, okay, Daddy's going every week, Daddy's going every week. So around week 3, Karma asked me, said, Daddy, can I run with you?
Wow.
I said, absolutely. And then we ran. And the thing is, what's beautiful about it is I was really struggling at the time. Around week 3, it was still really hard for me.
Yeah.
And Carmen at that time was physically stronger and not right. And she put her hand on my back.
Wow.
In different ways, right? So she elevated me, and now I'm helping elevate her because I'm getting to another level, and she wants to get to another level. I don't know if you remember the run to last week or the week before, Carmen and I raced to the finish line.
Yeah.
We raced to the finish line.
That's so cool.
You got to think about life and metaphors. That was a metaphor for life. Now she's going to have that in her mind. That's that's burnt into her mind now that she, I am going to reach beyond what I think I'm capable of. And so, and it's not going to carry over. It's not just limited to running. Here's an example. I make T-shirts on the side, right? And I've been trying to get the kids to kind of draw and make creations for T-shirts and everything. So we could just have kind of a side business for that. And so one, Carmen, she draws really well. And I asked her, I said, Carmen, I want you to draw something for me. I want to put it on a T-shirt. She drew a beautiful flower. And then she wanted that on the T-shirt. To take it a step further, she drew out sketches of shirts, and she wanted to put the exact coordinates of where she wanted that picture to go, and within the shirt. And she did a pricing structure for it, which before we started doing the run, she wasn't thinking on that level. But we would have conversations as we run, and we're discussing things beyond just running. We're discussing life, and it's carrying over. And I'm seeing that excitement in her. And it's that time, it's that dedication, it's that fear. You know, when it's hot outside, you're afraid of, okay, what's this heat going to do to me during the work, during the run, right? So she's pushing beyond those fears, and she's not beyond what she thinks is possible. And now her universe is wide open. And a lot of that started out from the run.
It's incredible what happens when you get into a physical routine, you know, yeah. Like all those things you mentioned, you have to work on your relationship to fear. You have to work on your relationship to your own self-doubts. You have to work on physical sensations. Sometimes it doesn't feel great, and you have to be able to move through that in a powerful way. You create consistency, you create routine. And then what I'm hearing you say with Carmen is that it's just carried over into, it's like spilled over into other areas of life, like with the T-shirts. Now she's approaching that project with the same type of passion and dedication and commitment that she approached the running. And man, I've seen that happen in my life just so many times, where especially if the thing I'm getting into is loving and healing for myself, if I'm able to cultivate a powerful relationship around that, you know, loving and healing action, it spills over into my work. It spills over into my play. It spills over into other projects I'm working on. And it's such a powerful illustration that you gave. So let's go back, and I want you to tell a little bit about you growing up, and you know, your journey from, you know, where your childhood to where you are today. Can you share a little bit about that with me?
Oh, yeah. So I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York. I was born in the 70s, but I'm a kid of the 80s. Kind of being a kid of the 80s in New York, it was kind of a turbulent time. Drugs hit the scene, and in particular, kind of crack cocaine hit the scene pretty bad. And so Brooklyn at the time wasn't the Brooklyn that you see today. It wasn't the hipster Brooklyn.
Yeah.
It was the breaking Brooklyn from the whole movie, the Beat Street. So it was graffiti and breakdancers and punk rockers and what have you. And I seen a lot during that time. I was exposed to different cultures, different things like that. And my dad exposed me to a lot of different things. And unfortunately, when I was 7, I lost my mom. My mother died. My parents separated when they were young. When I was young, and my mother died from AIDS back in 85. And so a couple years after that, about 4 or 5 years after that, we moved to North Carolina. My father took us to North Carolina to be with some family in North Carolina, and a couple of years after that, my father died when I was 12, and I was an orphan, and kind of I have a brother and I have a sister, so we were all kind of orphaned at that age, and when you're young and you're orphaned, it kind of you don't know, it's kind of hard to explain. You feel empty because you feel like you're the only person in the world. Mm. And you kind of feel like a victim. Nobody understands your story. And it's hard because a lot of times, think about it, it goes back to kind of relativity, right? If you have talent, and a lot of times as when you have parents, you guys are what your parents do for you. You don't realize a little nudge for education. You don't realize that hug. You don't realize a hot meal. You don't realize the safety. It's all these little intangibles that your parents do that you really don't appreciate when you're yeah. But when you're a kid, when you're an orphan, all those intangibles are quite obvious, right? All of them, you know what you don't have because the other people, your peers, have it. So it made for a rough time. But I was blessed in the sense that I started making friendships kind of young. When I moved to North Carolina, I started making friends. And my friends, their family knew my story, and I became part of their family, multiple families, right? Mm. So I had maybe five mothers that kind of made sure I had dinner. I had five mothers that made sure my grades were right, and father, you know. I had this community of people that actually took the time to make sure I was on the straight and narrow. And I found sports. And because I found sports, sports is one of those things where now you have an instant infrastructure for yourself. There's very little things as youth that beyond your parents that are kind of an infrastructure, right? But football, track is an infrastructure. It's a whole department dedicated to make sure you have success. As a result, that carries over to like school and different things of that nature.
Yeah.
So I always made my grades were good. I stayed out of trouble because I had infrastructure, I had support, and I managed to go to college. I got a ton of student loans because of it, but I managed to go to college, and my friends stayed with me the whole time, and I can't say I missed anything. And to be in that circumstance, to be an orphan and say that I feel like I haven't missed out on anything, I think that's nothing but God and the universe putting it out there for me and protecting me. And me making sure I did my part. You know, so people, this is actually the first time I stated publicly that my parents died from AIDS. In a public forum, I told people personally, people who know me, they know it and everything. But I feel like now in this stage, I'm 38 now, in this stage of my life, I want to share that story and let that go out in the universe. And anybody who's orphaned can now know that, hey, listen, things might seem kind of tough right now, but just keep on following and believing and putting in work, and you're going to be okay. That's kind of what I needed to know when I was growing up, is you're going to be okay. And even with my physical development right now, it was the universe coming back saying, you're going to be okay. You guys are, for the most part, you're going to be okay to me. You know, there's you guys are my family now. Mm-hmm. And that's the example of where I had my whole life after my parents died.
Wow, so you've created family your whole life. You've created people who would come to your aid, who would look out for you, who would, you know, have your best interests in heart, and you've done that time and time again. So what is, you know, my question is for you is, what is family to you?
My family is way beyond blood. Family is way beyond blood. You know, one of the things is, In order for a relationship to work, it has to work, again, both ways, right? I think I referred to that before. You have to put an effort into maintaining a relationship. So something as simple as giving a person a call, or me seeing, patting them on the back, saying, I missed you. You know, kind of, in a sense, I think you know me enough to know me now that I kind of wear my emotions on my sleeve. You know, I let you in, you know? And family is people who let you in. Give you an example. Carmen drinks out my cup. Now, I don't like people drinking out my cup. I'm real funny about people drinking out my cup. Carmen drinks out my cup because she knows she's in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's naturally because she's my daughter, and so it's kind of that bound. There's no boundary there, but she does it. But in a sense, that's kind of another metaphor. It's like you let somebody drink out your cup. You know, you let that person who you trust drink out your cup and know that you're not going to wind up hurt at them.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How did you work on building that trust? Because, you know, to be able to let someone drink out your cup and know that it's going to be okay and you're not going to be hurt, and to create and recreate family all throughout the years, like, there's got to be a level of trust that this person is not going to take advantage of me and my emotion. How do you do that now, and how have you done that in the past?
Well, in a way, it's kind of, this is the kind of who I live by. You don't give out more than you can't stand to lose. So you're always going to have a little bit of reserve out there. You have to have a little reserve. It's self-preservation. That's a self-preservation ladder. And I've been burnt before, but you can't let one bad thing affect your whole life. Give you an example. My mother died when I was young, right? And my father, my mother died when in 85. And my father died and 90. And my father remarried. My father remarried before he died. He didn't know he had AIDS. He didn't know he had AIDS because back in 85, AIDS wasn't even known about that much. Mm. So he remarried not knowing he was infected. And my stepmother didn't get it, thank God. But I have a sister from that marriage. And I love my sister. I love my sister dearly. If my mom didn't pass away, then I wouldn't have my sister as I know her today.
Wow.
You see, so even though I went through great hurt and pain from losing my mother, in a way, a flower kind of blossomed from it, right? A flower. I have a sister that I wouldn't trade for the world. And in order for me to go back in the past and change that, I would have to let my mom live again. You know, so it's kind of one of those things you can't get burnt. You can't think about think bad things that happen to you, because good things might blossom from those bad things.
Oof. That's real.
Yeah.
Now, you talked also about being, you know, when your parents passed, feeling, you know, it was easy to feel like a victim. Like, it was easy to feel like all these things were happening to you and that nobody understood where you were coming from. But hearing you speak now, you've obviously, it sounds like you've gone to a different place where you don't identify yourself as a victim. And what you just said about, you know, finding the powerful moments in every circumstance seems like part of the way that you do that. But how have you, and what, you know, what would you say to somebody out there who is experiencing a circumstance where they are relating to it as a victim? You know, what advice would you give them, or what would you tell them so that they can have a different type of experience where they don't feel like everything is happening to them, where they feel like they have choice and they have the ability to make something different?
You know, I kind of like to refer back to stories in order to kind of answer questions, right?
I love stories, it works well.
I went through a divorce. I went through a divorce with Connor's mother, right? So I'm on my second marriage. The divorce was kind of devastating for me. And one of the things that, as a father, when you go through a divorce, you lose a lot of time with your kids. And I lost a lot of time with Carmen. As the courts, I scored for time, and I actually got the time. I got kind of 48% of the time. So I got it almost half the time, and that's fair. But it took a lot for me to do that. And but one of the things prior to that, all my time was with Connor. And so I was in court, and the judge kind of told me the time that I was going to have. And I was like, what am I going to do with this time? My heart was broke. And I was like, what am I going to do with this time that I had with my daughter where it's just as valuable as that parental time that I had? And so I said, well, let me get my master's. And over those two years, I went and got my master's. And at the end of it, our relationship is the best ever. She knows what I'm capable of doing. Like, and I didn't dwell on why did this happen. Why did I lose so much time? Because I made something else happen with that time. So I guess my point is, you have to move your feet. You can, if you sit and you dwell about what's wrong and what you lost and all that kind of stuff, you won't know what you can get. So I always think about that. I always think about, all right, well, this is bad. Well, what can I do to make this better? And things never fails. It's always gotten better. If I would have just sat and kind of thought about, oh, man, this is the worst, then my life would be drastically different now. I'm in a good place, and it's because I constantly move my feet. Give you an example. I just accepted a position at work, kind of a level up and a promotion in a sense, right? And one of the first things that I asked is kind of one of the benefits that went along with that promotion. And they told me the benefits, and the thing I asked is, okay, educational benefits. And they told me about tuition reimbursement and different things like that. And I said, I already have a master's, but I was like, well, they're going to pay for it. I might as well get an MBA. You know, so I have a little bit of time. I have a little bit of time already halfway through with it. I might as well do that, right? So it's kind of like it's self-improvement. But the lady told me, the HR lady told me, that you'd be surprised. Company-wide, she was only giving back. Three people was in the system for tuition reimbursement. Three people out of, like, over 1,000 people, three people. So the people who don't like their jobs at work, the people who think they're not getting the promotions they want, the people who kind of think about, well, I'm in a bad place, I want to make more money, different things like that, they're not taking advantage of the opportunity for this tuition reimbursement where they might improve their circumstance.
Yeah.
And here, I already have the education, and I'm like, well, let me make my education a little bit better to put me in a position so I can step up to the next spot in my life. So it's kind of, you got to move your feet. You always got to move your feet. If you sit still, you know, they say idle mind is the devil's workshop. It's true. If you sit still, the bad things will happen. You got to constantly move.
And I remember this past Saturday, you shared with me that you had gotten that promotion. And initially, it wasn't something you wanted because you enjoyed the position you were in because it came with a certain number of freedoms and allowances. And so for you to say now that you took that promotion and then now you're looking at what, you know, the opportunities that come with the promotion, that's like that right there is the choice between choosing to feel quote unquote bad about your situation and, you know, feel as if you were forced to take this promotion, you didn't want to do it, versus saying, okay, this is the reality, here's the circumstance, how can I create something greater from it? And that's what I'm hearing that you're doing in this situation. And that's what I've heard just through this, you know, talking to you for this past however long that you've done throughout your life. You've looked at the cards you were dealt and you were saying, okay, how can I create the best hand from these cards? And you've done that.
Yeah. And, you know, I totally forgot I had told you that. I totally forgot I had told you that. So it's funny because you knew a backstory behind that, and I totally forgot I told you that.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned that on Saturday, and I was like, okay, so that's interesting that, you know, you said I signed a new position today, but you didn't sound happy about it. And so It's just
I'm stoked.
You know, say it again.
Yeah, I'm stoked. I'm happy. I'm ready for the next day.
Yeah, like, and the way your approach, your attitude is very inspiring to me, and I believe it'll be inspiring to the folks listening as well, because you just, like, life happens, you know, things happen in life that we don't want, that we didn't plan on, that we weren't expecting, that knock us on our butts. But hearing your story and your perspective, it's like, okay, life does happen. But you can create something new from it. You can create something greater from it. You can create something different from it. And I just, you know, I'm going through a family circumstance right now. And that's why I wanted to ask you, what does family mean? Because I'm experiencing something right now where I feel challenged to stand by my principles and my values and my mission statement and what I believe is my greater purpose in life. And stand there versus align with what my family wants. And it's really been pulling me apart. It's been one of the most challenging circumstances and situations that I've ever experienced with my family. And it's interesting because there's been a voice in my head that said, blood, right? Like, family is blood. You don't stand apart from family no matter what.
And yeah, I don't agree with that.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to ask you, like, what is family? You know, because there's a script there to say that family is blood, and you always put family first, and you always, you know what I mean? Like, there's a script that is being promoted just out in the world, you know, in American society. It's such a big part of what people talk about. But your experience has been different, and so I was excited to talk to you about that, and I'm happy that you brought it up, because it's real for me, and I know it's real for a lot of people out there, this idea of what family is and what your responsibility to family is.
See, and that's the thing about it. With family, you don't choose your family, right? You have no choice. But life is about kind of free will. I love my family. I adore my family. But life is about kind of free will. But with family, you're bound to that lineage, right? So if you was the, let's say you was dealt a hand of bad lineage, do you follow that script of bad lineage? If your family, if you came from a family of drug users and I don't know, just criminals and different things, do you follow that lineage? So to kind of say I follow my family, that in a sense to me it doesn't make sense. Because then you take away that free will, in a sense, to make better decisions. You know, if I were listening to people, for example, I went to school for agriculture economics, and my family said, "Why are you going to? You're from Brooklyn. Why are you going to school for agriculture economics?" And I said, "Well, it's an opportunity there." They said, "Well, what kind of opportunity? You going to be a farmer?" I'm like, "No, it's." I do research. I work with the government. I help people. I help feed the world. All kinds of different things. It's a good place for me. All my family was laughing at me for taking that position. But when I graduated, I had one of the highest salaries in the Apple school. I looked at the average salaries, and the average salaries, I was like $10,000 above it. And that's carried me through my whole career. So, but if I would have listened to that lineage, I probably wouldn't be in the position I'm at now. I'm flexible now simply because the decision I made in college and the major I made. But since they didn't really have that knowledge, they couldn't give me good advice on it. So I always, the way I base things and advice and different things is, okay, what is your level of knowledge on the subject? If you don't have a level of knowledge on the subject, then at that point, I take that as a secondary resource. You take the people who know that, who subject matter experts and kind of know that area. You put that first because it just makes sense because they know. A lot of times, lineage doesn't know about that. They have different circles or different things that are outside of what you're doing. So you got to be real careful about advice that you get from that. And that's in general, just advice from friends, advice from anybody. You don't want to take bad advice simply because of that lineage or relationships. Just kind of use a filter.
Yeah, and you know, I heard you say that people are going to provide their advice, their feedback, sometimes their judgment, their criticism, based on where they're at, based on the information they have, based on the story that they're telling themselves, based on their perspective. And you can do with it what you want. You know, in your case, you could have listened to them. You could have listened to their story about, you're a dude from Brooklyn. What, are you going to be a farmer? That's ridiculous. You know, you could have bought into that and chosen something different. I could buy into the story that members of my family are creating about myself, about me and how I'm showing up, and about the situation at large. I could buy into that as well. Or, you know, you could listen, hear them, show compassion, work on truly understanding, just truly understanding where they're coming from, and then, you know, making your choice and choosing what you want. And so, the topic of family, man, it's fascinating because it can come with a lot of attachments, a lot of threads attached to it. And what we're playing for, you know, what it sounds like you and I are playing for is less attachments, more connection, you know, more power, more healing, more love. And and that leads me to ask you, you know, what is your big why? You know, what's that big purpose? What's that big thing that you're playing for in life?
In a way, it's to live up to my greatest potential. It sounds cliche, but live up to my potential. And a lot of times, it's not just professionally. Although I want to do my best professionally, is at the end of the day, I want to have a big funeral where people aren't crying, but say, you know what? I had fun with Rob. I had fun, and Rob helped me in my life. However it may be, at the end of the day, I want everybody to say, you know, I had a great experience with him. And even if you didn't have a great experience, you can respect and know that I was a man of honor.
Hmm. You put that. I don't know why, but that just put a huge grin on my face to hear you say that. That's powerful. That's real.
You think about it. At the end of the day, when people weigh your life out, and people do, when you hear somebody pass away, you take an inventory of your interactions with that person.
You do, right? Yeah.
And it's kind of taboo to talk about, but it's true. You take an inventory. You know what? Am I going to miss this person? You are or you're not, you know? And I want, at the end of the day, I want, you know what? I'm going to miss Rob. Yeah. And that will say a lot about you. If you have a lot of people say, you know, I'm going to miss him, that's going to, you did pretty good for yourself.
Yeah, so you want to touch people in a significant way, and you want to brighten people's lives because you were in it. Because they got to experience you. They get to walk away with, you know, sunnier disposition and brighter outlook and more power in themselves.
It only takes a moment to influence somebody's life. And that moment might affect them a lifetime.
Mm. Truth. Yeah, and that's, you know, that's one of the reasons why I love magic. You know, I love what we share at the playground. And for you listening, magic is your ability to influence yourself, others, and life in a powerful way. And what we do is we share our instances of magic. We share it at the end of the Tuesday night play camp. We share it at the end of the Saturday fun run. And just what you said, Robert, like it takes just an instant to influence somebody and to potentially change someone's life. And it's through these instances of magic that I've just been so inspired and influenced to show up for myself in a loving way and been inspired to go after my greatest potential and be the greatest version of myself, you know? And the magic that you've shared. I mean, your magic is so raw, man. It's so real. It comes from such a place of, you know, of love and with such heart, you know, and I know it's inspired folks. And I love the fact that, you know, you mentioned earlier that you are open with your emotions. I love that. I love that because I think that's where folks can connect. You know, it's like, man, okay, I can connect with Robert. Like, I feel where he's coming from. I feel what he's saying. And I was attracted to you for that reason early on getting to know you because you just were a real guy.
I appreciate it. And that's what I mean kind of professionally. You put a professional facade on, and sometimes a lot of people miss that. A lot of people miss it. And one of the things I did kind of going back kind of professionally is I do that in business. But when a lot of times, it's funny, I don't send emails a lot of times at work. I walk right up to the person that's with you, and I speak to them. Mm. And I always get better results from it. Yeah. Early on, I sent emails, and you kind of get responses. You don't know how to. But when you actually make a connection with that person and say, hey, you know what? Dude, I need this. Can you help me with this? You know, a person, they feel your energy and say, you know what? Yeah, I'll do that for you. Whereas normally they might have waited a week to do it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's that connection. I learned that early on, and it's made a huge difference in my career.
Yeah, I mean, they say in business it's all about relationships, but what does that really mean, right? Like, you can work on cultivating a relationship through email or through LinkedIn, but it's about experiencing someone's energy, looking them in the eye, having the conversation, putting the hand on the back. You know, like that's what it's about.
You touch them, you share your magic, you bring that magic to you. You know, once your vibrations connect, it's hard to disconnect from a person. When that person, every time I go into a meeting with people I don't know, I want that person to know that you could count on me now.
Mm.
And so now I got another branch in the office that I could go to.
Yeah, yeah.
And they could come to me. Hey, Robert, I need this. Can you help me? Here, I could do it for you by this time. And it's that relationship. So now if some, and I could be honest with them. Now, you know, I'm not going to be able to do that. This is why I can't do it. You know, and there's no animosity because they know I really can't do it.
Yeah, because you've created that relationship. You've made deposits in that person's, you know, emotional bank account. I love that. I love that analogy.
Yeah, you always make deposits. Even when you know, it's not where you fake it and make those deposits. You actually try to genuinely do it. Genuinely put something in there. Then you say, you know what? Just be honest with the person. I can't do it. This is the reason why. Now, it might hurt that person's feelings, and they might get angry or something like that. But at least you're not gonna lie to them. At least you're not gonna. They're not gonna be looking for it or something like that. They're gonna like, well, you told me what he could do. He hasn't lied to me before, you know. So it's. You carry it goes from the gym, it goes to the office, it goes with your kids, it goes with the guy cutting your grass, it goes for everything. You carry that, and if you're the same person and you're your true self going in any circumstance, people can't help but respect you.
I dig it. I want to go back to something that we talked about before we hit record. I asked you a question. I said, you know, what questions do you have for me? And you were curious about understanding my purpose, you know, my bigger reason for life. And so I wanted to answer that question for you because I just asked you a couple minutes ago, you know, what your big why was and what your purpose was. And again, do you mind sharing your purpose?
You said for me to share my purpose?
Yeah. Share yours real quick. And then I'll share mine just because I did want to answer that question because you did ask me that. Before we started recording. So, you know, again, tell us, what is your big why? What is your purpose in life?
Again, it kind of goes back. I want to be the best I can be. Mm-hmm. I want to, at the end, I want to have zero left in the bank account. I want to, metaphorically speaking, right?
Yeah.
I want to give all I had. I want to, every opportunity, it's unrealistic to say I took advantage of every opportunity, right? But I want to know, you know what, given the circumstance, given what I knew at the time, given my intent, that I did the best that I can do. Because you got to be realistic about things. One thing is kind of a project management. Is it achievable, right? So in my life, at the end of my project, I want to say, did I achieve it? What was my shooting percentage? How many times did I foul out? You know, and at the end of it, all right, did I have a Hall of Fame career? Mm. You know, did I have a Hall of Fame career? And if I did, I could be proud.
Well, I love the way that you put that. You know, it's funny. I set myself up now to try to follow you, you're so, I don't know, you create such a visual with your words and so eloquent. But I'll give it a shot. For me, you know, I'm playing to constantly be inspired by who I'm being. You know, growing up, I compared myself to a lot of people, and moving into my teens and my adolescence, I envied a lot of people, and I envied people's accomplishments and their possessions and their relationships. And now I'm 29 and I'll be 30 this year. And, I'm having a daughter. You know, Sarah and I are having a daughter in September, just a couple months away. I want to inspire myself. And what's great is that I am inspiring myself by how I'm showing up. And what's helped me to do that is having a mission statement, which really acts as my North Star, something that I can always look to say, am I on track? And my mission statement right now is to love myself towards a state of balance so that I can always give back from a cup that is overflowing and help awaken others to their highest version of self. And so for me, it's like getting back to filling up my cup, loving on myself, you know, being in balance. And like you, you know, like you said, you want to touch people and you want people to say, wow, like I'm going to miss Robert. Like he was such a huge influence in my life. And I'm playing for that as well. You know, I'm playing to brighten people's lives and just simply by being around me. And, you know, for you, that's how I experience you, man. So that thing that you say that you're playing for, your big purpose, I'm letting you know that it is true. You are actualizing it, and I'm experiencing that just by knowing you.
Thank you, my friend. You believe it or not, you really influenced me as well. You know, you set a bar for me that you probably didn't even realize. You know, even from a physicality standpoint, I mean, you're a heck of an athlete, and I'm like, man, you know what? I could do that, you know, and you know, talking to you, seeing you about to be a father, and you know, kind of the fears that go along with it, and just everything. I know what you're going through, and I'm excited for you because I know how beautiful your future is going to be. Mm. And I know, and the reason why is because I know the kind of man that you are, you know. So believe it or not, you're going a long way, and just continue at that path and believe in yourself. And no matter what the ripples are, it's going to be a surfboard and go over those ripples. And you're going to be okay. I know that for a fact.
I received that, man. I received that. Thank you. Thank you. And I want to tell you that through this journey, Sarah and I, our journey of being pregnant, it's really fascinating how people respond. First, when we told them that we were pregnant. Second, when we told them that we're having a girl. When we tell people that we're doing a home birth, it's really fascinating the type of responses we get from people. And I remember when I told people that we're pregnant with a girl, so many of the responses were along the lines of, oh man, you're in for it. You know, are you prepared? Oh boy, it's a girl. And that really bothered me. You know, I have two sisters and, you know, I was raised in a house of women. And it bothered me. But when I told you that we were having a girl, you looked at me and with, you know, with tears coming to your eyes because of your experience, you said, she's going to melt your heart. You said, girls melt your heart. And man, I will always, always remember that because you were one of the first people to say something from a place of true love, like genuine love, and that hit me, man. That hit me when you said that. I was like, okay. It just washed away all of the other things that folks had said and all the other stories and the beliefs and the fears that, you know, I think they thought they were coming from a loving place, but there was really a lot of fear underneath. But when you said she's going to melt your heart, I couldn't wait for her to come, for little Maya to come, because I feel that from you. And I see that with you and Carmen, and I'm very excited to experience that myself. So I just wanted to acknowledge that and say thank you. So thank you for those words and for who you are, you know, who you are for yourself, who you are for your family, who you are for your daughter, and just how you show up, because I think it's who you are and how you view the world and your, you know, the powerful beliefs that you wear on that allow you to say something like, she's going to melt your heart. So I appreciate you, man.
It's so true. And, you know, we mentioned Carmen, but I have two daughters. So they're actually my stepdaughters. But it kind of goes back to what I said about blood. They're my stepdaughters, but I had them for years. Those are my babies.
What are their names?
Their name is Jada and Jayla.
So Carmen, and Jada, and Jayla. Beautiful.
Yeah. And 16, 14, and 13. And they melt my heart as well. So it's one of the things. It's like, planet. Girls are emotional in a sense, right? When you have daughters, they're a little more emotional. Boys are kind of, they run through walls. So it's two different dichotomies, but in a way, it's kind of the same. But that love and that feeling that you're gonna have is amazing. I'm gonna trade it for the world, and I'm so excited that you're gonna experience it. I really am. And a lot of times the people, when they say that kind of stuff, they say they base those statements off of the emotional aspect when men aren't actually kind of as emotional. But I'm a man that's in touch with his emotions, in a sense. And yeah. Knowing you, you're in touch with your emotions. And if you can understand that emotional standpoint, kind of back to relativity, if you understand that emotional standpoint, then you could appreciate those emotions those girls are going through, the insecurities, the what they need, and different things like that, and you'll be able to help them in a better place. But it's kind of just put yourself in their place to understand those emotions and their fears and judgments, different things like that. And as they grow up, they become stronger. Like Carmen running those 4 miles with me, she's becoming stronger because I knew those emotional places where she was at. You know, so I'm excited for your future journey, and I'm gonna be a big part of your life in the future.
That's I believe it. That's the truth, and I can't wait for baby Maya to come and for you to meet her and for her to meet Carmen and Jada and Jayla and everybody. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited for that. And you know, Robert, as we come to a close here, we've been talking for a while, and I love it. It's these conversations are just powerful. They flow. They're organic. I'm always inspired by them. But as we do come to a close here, I want to know, what does having it all mean to you?
Having it all, again, cliche, is balance. It's balance. It's understanding that one segment of your life isn't more valuable than other segments of your life. If you could find that true balance in life, if you could find that friends, little friendships, and health. Another thing is huge is art. Finding an art in life. You don't have to necessarily be a painter or an artist or whatever, but everything has an art to it. And if you find that art and find that appreciation, that's having it all. It's finding that balance, finding that way you could balance your life on a pinhead, and every section of which is being balanced is properly placed in the right proportion. That's having it all.
Do you have it all?
I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Little by little, I'm getting there. After, like I said, at my funeral, when I take full account of it, I'll let you know, but I'm pretty damn close.
Beautiful, man. I love that. I love it. Well, Robert, thank you so much Thank you for making time to have a conversation with me. Thank you for showing up in life the way that you show up. Thank you for being consistent. You know, I see you every week just getting it. You know, thank you for that. Thank you for being the example to myself, to your daughters, to your family, to my wife, the community. I'm incredibly grateful to have met you, and I'm incredibly excited to continue to just grow my relationship with you and continue to learn from you. So again, thank you for all that and for hanging out with me for an hour plus today on this beautiful morning. I really do appreciate it, Robert.
Thank you.
Two quick things before you leave. First, did you know that the Having It All podcast is a part of the Fireside Network? Yep, we are one of the esteemed shows that calls Fireside Network home. That means if you ever want to listen to a show outside of iTunes or Stitcher or whatever your favorite podcasting app is, all you need to do is visit FiresideNetwork.com and under shows, select Having It All. From there, you can access all the episodes, see the show notes, learn about my guests, and more. Second, I am very excited to announce that my brand new website is live. Visit MatthewBivens.com and you can learn more about me, get plugged into an accountability group, and pick up some free content like the Abundance Benchmark. I am all about helping you not only identify what your ideal life looks like, but also helping you on your journey towards it. I want you to experience more abundance and love in your life. So, again, you can find out more information about all of that great stuff at MatthewBivens.com. Thank you once more for listening to the show, and here is to you having it all.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved, Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.